Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Straight up with no chaser. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
Let's catch up with Dan Fates, Buffalo Plus, 13 Wham Sports. The Buffalo Bills are going to be featured on Hard Knocks, Dan, and I think with just over 24 hours to process it, most fans are excited about it. I think Rochesterians are 100% excited about it, but as a Bills fan, knowing what we know about teams' lack of desire to be featured on this show, how do you think everybody's been processing this according to what you've seen so far?
Yeah, it's actually just up there in Buffalo. They had a Highmark movie press conference. So I actually just got back and was actually able to talk to Reed Ferguson, who's going to be one of the stars of the Holiday Touchdown, a Bills love story. And I asked Reed about being on Hard Knocks and kind of the impression, because I think some fans, while they're all excited, it's great to showcase Pittsburgh and everything that Rochester has for the training camp and HBO, all that stuff. I think some fans may see it as a little bit of a distraction. And Reed kind of said, they're around cameras so much to begin with. I don't think it's that much of a change. He said it'll be a little different because there'll be cameras in meeting rooms and cafeterias and things like that. But he kind of said that they're, in general, excited about it. The one thing that surprised me, though, guys, was that Reed said they were all kind of caught off guard. I don't think the players knew that the rules to be a team, because they had changed them, where it used to be if you had made the playoffs, you weren't eligible, and you had to be 10 years, period, and you couldn't have a first-year head coach. The rules had changed. So Reed said they were all kind of caught off guard when they were announced as a team. So I don't think the players had any wherewithal before it. But I don't think it's going to be too much of a distraction. I think it's great for fans. They'll get even more access to their favorite team and players.
Yeah, I have more questions for you about Hard Knocks, but I want to make sure I follow up here on you going up there for the movie. Does that mean you or Jenna? Or
no.
Maybe even, no, not at all. You're not going to be an extra.
I wish. Jenna was making a hard push to be an extra. I'll say that. And it was not accepted. It's fine. They're shooting for about the next month. They were saying that they've been around Buffalo for quite some time. They were at the Patriots home game at the end of the year. They shot with fans and tailgates and stuff like that. So this has been in the works for a little bit. We were just going up there to kind of see what it was all about. And then obviously knowing that there would be a player made available who's in the movie, we also kind of wanted to ask, obviously, Reed about Hard Knocks.
I'm thinking to myself, you know, we were talking about it. Extras have to take like 3 days, right? If you're going to be an extra in the movie, like that's a 3-day commitment where you're not really getting paid. I don't think any of us would sign up for it. Jenna's still interested in that?
Jenna's still interested, very much. Big Hallmark holiday movie fan.
Oh, boy.
You know they end up together in the end. Like, what are we even doing?
Gene, spoiler alert. Come on.
Gene, the suspense.
I mean, they have to, they have to have the Bills going to the Super Bowl or winning it, right, Dan? You're not cutting the movie off at Christmas time.
No, and we don't know when the movie's coming out. That was the other thing. They're trying to work around it with the NFL so that, like, they don't release it on, like, a day that there's a massive game. And we were kind of joking around that the NFL seems to now be playing on every day of the week, so I don't know what day they're going to pick. But it is based somewhat. They wouldn't give away the whole plot. Obviously, we know what a Hallmark movie is. But they said that one of the main characters is, like, the VP of development for the new stadium. So they actually, like, they're incorporating the current events of what's going on in Buffalo and the team as they're moving from not Hallmark Stadium, which is what was missaid quite a bit, Highmark Stadium, over to the new stadium.
Can you imagine they named the new stadium after Hallmark?
Hallmark Stadium. Whoa.
Over a movie. Dan, back to Hard Knocks, because I look back at all the teams that have been featured on Hard Knocks through the years, and I'll hear fans complain that there has never been a team that has won the Super Bowl after being featured on Hard Knocks. And just looking at the quarterbacks that have been on the teams featured on Hard Knocks through the years, it's few and far between where you have a good quarterback, let alone the reigning MVP. How much of Hard Knocks is going to be centered around Josh Allen, in your opinion?
I think quite a bit, but I think the beauty of Hard Knocks, like, I think you're going to get to see more, and I was joking around with on our podcast yesterday, like, joking around more, like, getting to see, I think people like Josh Allen. They like the way that he plays on the field. I don't think, unless you're really involved, you're around the team, invested in the team, to get to see, like, the golden retriever side of Josh Allen, like the fun loving kid, like they call him just a big kid. I think that the audience, the NFL fans, will eat up even more because you see Josh the competitor, you see the way that he handles things and does everything the right way, you know, kind of on the sidelines and things like that. I think they're really going to get to see, like, the more joking side of Josh, the jokes. You're going to get to see, I'm sure there'll be an episode about golf in Oak Hill.
Yeah.
I'm sure there'll be an episode about Catan and the board games that he plays. And, like, if there's one thing that I know about Josh Allen to be true, it's that he loves dorm room life. Like, he loves this stuff. And honestly, I know that because if he didn't want to do it, they probably wouldn't, because he's Josh Allen. And if they said, hey, Josh, you want to go to, you know, Fisher again this summer? And he goes, it just doesn't work for me. They wouldn't do it because he's Josh Allen. So, like, I think you're going to get to see, like, that cool aspect of seeing a pro athlete, the MVP of the league, be that kid that, you know, you grow up and you're like, he still has that side of him. So I think that'll be cool to see. But the beauty of Hard Knocks is they really dive into those fringe guys, the guys that the stories that tug at your heartstrings, like things like that, you know, whether it's going to be a Ray Davis kind of feature, we were joking around with Reed. Maybe it's more about Dalton Kincaid. We get to know more about him, who's been pretty quiet. Will there be more about DeMar Hamlin? Buffalo Joe, I'm sure, will get an episode. Like, those kind of stories, I think, are what really drive it, but it'll be cool to see the MVP behind the scenes more than we've ever seen.
So let me throw this at you, Dan, because everything you're saying, I can't say won't happen, but you were at training camp. We were all at training camp. But didn't it feel to you like last year at training camp, Josh Allen came in with a little bit less of the golden retriever and a little bit more of a sense of urgency and attitude, a desire? He just came in a little bit, he felt like he was a little bit more serious. And you know what I mean?
Yep.
With the hood up and like he was all business. Is that a side? Because I worry that if all they showcase is playful board game playing Josh Allen, that could work to his detriment, and that you'd rather see a competitor, a true competitor, get after his guys, you know, on the field and play with a little bit of intensity during a practice so that everybody sees, oh, no, he really is as competitive as we hear he is.
Yeah, and that'll come out. And listen, I think last year it is different circumstances. And that was kind of what I wanted to ask Reed about, was that, like, is this going to be a distraction? He kind of, like, if there's one thing, this locker room, this coaching staff, this front office, like, is pretty well aligned and they're secure and there's no big question marks. The James Cook thing, it'll be interesting to see how that kind of gets molded. But listen, last year there were questions around, You don't have Stephon Diggs. You don't have a wide receiver. How is this going to work? And Josh brought that, hey, we got to go to work. Like, yep, we don't have Diggs. So what? Let's go to work. I think he's proven it. I remember last year coming out here being like, we had the debate on the Buffalo Post podcast. Like, is Josh an alpha? Like, does he have that Brady in him to rip apart his teammates in the correct way and be the true leader of the team? And he showed all of that. Josh Allen's the MVP, not because of his numbers, but because of what he did with the things that he had around him. But I always think that everybody we've talked to, in the building, outside the building, teammates, all those things, like, he's the same way that he is on the field as he is off the field. And it's the fact that he's a quarterback. And it was like day one. I remember like Marcus Valdes-Scantling last year talking about like he hangs out with everybody. Like he goes, I've been around a lot of quarterbacks, but that's not the case. So I don't think that side changed of him. I think Josh definitely came into training camp last year with something to prove without Diggs. Like, fine, we can do it without him. And he showed that. So I still think that Josh is still that same jokester at heart. You think about the play, him throwing the touchdown to himself, or I still think about how the joking that he was in that last game against New England in the regular season, where he took one snap and then ran off the field and jumped into like his teammates' arms. Like, job well done. I still think he has that playful side. I don't think maybe it was the focus as much last year because there were so many other questions.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Dan, I think that, you know, we know what to expect out of Josh Allen. What do we expect out of Sean McDermott? I mean, we've seen a more playful Sean McDermott, going back to him goofing on you at the combine there with Mike in the background, yep, or the Snow Angels. But I've always wondered, like, when he's at the podium, who is he really? Is this him talking, or is he still the guy who minored in theater and he's playing the role of a football coach and this is how football coaches talk? I want to see what he's like when, the cameras are going to be on, but maybe he forgets that they're on. And, you know, furthermore, how does he release guys? To me, McDermott is the one thing I'm tuning in for.
Yeah. Well, I'll also say this. Sean's in the movie, and apparently he's a phenomenal actor. That was what they said. So we'll put that out there. I'll also say this. We have always joked around on the channel that there are two Sean McDermotts. There is off-season Sean, and there is in-season Sean. And sometimes, for the first week of training camp, it's still off-season Sean, and you'll still get some jokes and all those things. And then you will know the exact time it changes, when the press conferences get way more serious, and there's no more joking, and there's no side stories or anything like that. I think it's once he has, like, his second vanilla milkshake from Pittsburgh Dairy that, like, it fully switches into football mode. But like I said, at the combine, he's joking around. Like, and we have seen that in, like, breaking news to fans out there that want him fired. He's not going to get fired anytime soon. So he feels, I think, more than ever comfortable in who he is as a coach. When you've won as many games as he has and you've built the resume that he has, yes, there are things missing on it. There's no doubt. And there are blemishes, no question. But Sean is very secure. And you've seen him start to kind of embody the team. And you always hear like great coaches, and I know it's more in other sports, but you hear about a lot in baseball and hockey. Like at some point, like if you're a great coach and you have a great team, the players run the team and the coaches just kind of oversee it. And so I think with whether it's the leadership council or the way that this team has been constructed by Bean, like Sean has been able to kind of take a step back. I mean that in a positive way. Like we talk about, he has dad joke Fridays now with the guys. He's wearing Jordans. He's wearing flat brim hats. Like you're starting to see a little bit more of Sean's personality come out. And I think that comes with him being comfortable time and time again. He's doing more podcast appearances. Who knows? He may end up on Mike's patio this training camp. Like this kind of guy, I think you get to see, and I'm with you. There is a different side of Sean that people don't see at post-game podium press conferences. Like you forget that he's a human being and he's a dad and things like that. And you get to see that, and we get to see that in the media in glimpses and things like that. So I think that'll be even cooler for fans, especially of Buffalo, to get to see their coach is a normal person too on top of it.
Dan, I'm curious about now I lost my train of thought where I was going to go. I know where I was going to go next. I'm curious to see what the Bills do in this upcoming season in terms of their play calling on short yardage situations.
Yeah.
Terry Pegula voted for the proposal to ban the tush push, even though the Bills were probably the second most successful team to run that play behind Philadelphia. Do you think they abandon the play? Is there, you know, to hear Sean McDermott talk about the injury risk that we're still looking for with associated with the play, do you think they go back to a more traditional quarterback sneak in those roles, in those situations? What's your thoughts? I know the tush push is probably like a dead horse at this point, and it can come or go, and it doesn't matter. But I do think it does matter within a game when you have a short yardage situation and it's a successful play that you've run for some time.
Yeah, we've always been confused here just saying, like, it's such an advantage that you have a Buffalo as a quarterback in Buffalo. And like I said, there are other teams that don't run it because they can't. Baltimore doesn't run it. Cincinnati doesn't run it. Green Bay doesn't run it. Like, you have Josh Allen as a weapon for those short yardage situations. And I know Sean has been a proponent of banning it. Tushes will still be pushed in 2025, and I imagine Josh's tush will be one of them. Like, now, Sean is – the one thing that Sean made very clear at the Combine is that they run a kind of the tush push. They don't run the exact thing that Philly does. They run a variation off of it. And whether or not that's what Sean wanted to see banned or taken out of the game, I don't know. I still think that when it comes down to it, obviously there's a player safety aspect to it, which I think is total – baloney. And the fact of if the NFL wanted to come out and say, hey, look, guess what, guys, it's not a very appealing play to the eyes, that's why we want it banned, I would have been on favor of it. But when you're sitting there trying to find injury data that isn't there, I think it's a really poor way of trying to get something banned. And to try and use the veil of player safety to me is cowardly, because there's just no data that shows the injury risk is high on that play. So when push comes to shove, no pun intended, I think the Bills will still run the play because they want to get first downs and they want to win. And within the guidelines of the rules, and if they're not, especially if they're saying there's no data that shows that Josh gets hurt on that play, because Josh historically has gotten injured more likely outside the pocket than he has been getting shoved in the middle of it, I think the Bills will still run the play.
Yeah, Dan Fates, Buffalo Plus 13 Wham, our guest here next Tuesday, so coming off the Memorial Day weekend. We get phase three of OTAs for the Buffalo Bills, which, again, they're not mandatory, but it looks a little more like football with 7-on-7, 11-on-11. Are we expecting to hear from anybody next week here, Dan, in advance of the June mandatory minicamp?
I think we'll probably hear from Josh, just the way that he's so open and talks with the media. I expect we'll hear something from him, but I'm not sure about what else we'll really know. I know that the first question, I can already say, will be to Sean McDermott, will be, is everybody here? And then the follow-up question will be like, is James here? Things like that. And they will say they love Jimbo, and they, you know, that this is all just business, and it'll all get worked out, and Sean will say that he's not concerned about it. So I know how that's going to go. As for the rest, I don't expect to hear too much else.
Dan, what about the length of training camp at St. John Fisher? Does that change at all with Hard Knocks coming in?
I don't think so. I think it'll probably be what we're, I mean, from what we're hearing. We, you know, Buffalo Plus had this story quite a while ago that camp was coming back to Fisher for its 23rd since 2020. Obviously, the COVID years interfered with that a little bit, but I think it's expected. The dates haven't been officially announced, but we're hearing kind of the same thing. There'll probably be 12 to 13 practices, 10 of them open to the public with tickets, and it should be around the same schedule of late July to the first and a half week of August.
Yeah, the Bears today, for their second preseason game against Buffalo, announcing joint practices with the Bills, which, Dan, it's hard for me to imagine two teams signing up, the Bills signing up for joint practices. I don't know if we'll ever see that again here in Buffalo, where we had the Browns coming in a couple of times.
Yeah, last year they did it in Pittsburgh. That was the day that we found out that Milano was out with the torn pec. That was right before the last preseason game and before the Buffalo Joe really hit its peak of hype. So I think the Bills like it. They have to do it with teams that they feel comfortable with. It's a little interesting that it's a first-year head coach in Ben Johnson that they're going to do this with, because there has to be some level of trust that these practices aren't going to get out of hand. And obviously McDermott and Tomlin having their relationship. I don't know if you know this. They both played. They were college teammates. Did you guys – were you guys aware of that?
Hold on a
second. He also wrestled. There it is.
Thanks,
Breaking
Dad.
News.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got it. So I'm a little bit surprised that's with the Bears, but I think they obviously liked what they saw. It was a good showcase for a guy like, you know, Joe Andreessen and some of those guys to get more live reps in a practice setting.
Long holiday weekend in front of us, Dan. Let's get there. We know that you're pumping out a lot of content at Buffalo Plus. What can our listeners check out?
Yeah, favorite podcast of the year just came out. We talked about Hard Knocks. We talked about the pushing of tushes. And then Jenna and I had our travel draft where we pick the road games that we will be attending. People always ask, how do you guys know which game you're going to? Jenna and I have a draft. So we drafted the road games and which ones we're going to. And then each game, each week, we picked the games, and the loser had to do a punishment. The winner got to pick the punishment for the loser. So Jenna won. She made Mike, who came in last, do a Pilates and bar class.
Oh.
So that was Pilates punishment / torture. I didn't want to put torture in the YouTube title because I didn't know how that would run through the algorithm. So I went with punishment. But that is must-see. If you guys listen to the audio podcast, Buffalo Plus, you can't see it there, so you got to go to the YouTube channel. So that it's a pretty good podcast I've seen, and I obviously joined in because I wasn't going to let Kat do it all by himself. You know, we're a team here, so Jenna got to make fun of us.
I'm curious about what road games you drafted, Dan.
So Jenna had the first overall pick.
Yeah.
I was very concerned. Also, weak draft class this year. Weak draft class.
Not a lot of travel. No, you're not far. You're not going farther west than Houston.
I'm going to guess Jenna would take Miami. Yeah, she's taking Miami in November.
Wedding conflict. Not hers, but there was a wedding conflict. So I knew Miami. We went through a little, not a back alley deal, but I said, are there any obligations that would interfere with games? So I was able to steal Miami in the third round.
Nice for it. Good.
Jenna had the first overall pick. She gave me the first overall pick, and I got to take Atlanta because hopefully there could be some playoff baseball in Atlanta, and that would be a twofer. So, yes, that was Jenna is a very, very kind person, a best friend of mine, obviously. So I got to get Atlanta. Her first pick was Carolina. She had never been to Carolina, was looking forward to going to Carolina for that game.
Gene's face just went kind of cold.
No, it's cute. They're 500. You know, they're going to get Acuna back.
This is bad. Gene,
has Soto swung his bat yet, or is he just fully checked out? Is he still? Oh, wait, he just took another pitch.
If it weren't for the numbers on the contract, nobody would be saying anything. He's elevating. I was going to ask you about the Amex.
Yeah.
You know what? We went on this detour.
If my grandma had wheels, she'd be a bike. Like, what are you talking about here? The dude's not swinging the bat. Doesn't want to celebrate. He looks unhappy.
Danger.
He looks unhappy.
Danger, will you step in here? I was critical after he didn't run out not one but two ground balls. That doesn't play anywhere in particular in New York, Dan.
That's true.
I'm not displaying Misfitian behavior, Dan.
That's true.
A little bit just now by saying, here, that's cute, you're almost a 500. You didn't need to bring that up right now. It is a long season after.
Well, I mean, that's a jump there, like 500 postseason.
Yeah. It's hard to run with all that money in your pocket, though. Like, I'm not expecting him to run down the first baseline. I am expecting Juan Soto to swing the bat and seem remotely interested in playing a game.
All right, before you leave us, we don't want to leave on that note. Quickly, on the Amerks.
Yeah. I thought they played well last night. I really did. I thought like they give up a goal 15 seconds in, very unfortunate. But I thought after that they really weathered the storm. They talked about the first 10 minutes of a road game, kind of handling the tsunami of emotions and all that stuff. I thought they did well. They scored the goal. I thought that was a turning point. Rusek with a beautiful goal. Levi didn't play great. Like, it sucks to say, but like, that wasn't his best game. The Amerks have been really good at bouncing back, playing desperate. I think about how they responded from game one to game two. I'd like to think Levi would be better in game four. But again, you expect a desperate team. I always remember Seth Appert saying, it is very tough to end a team season. And going back to last year, I know it's a different team. I know it's a different coach. The Amerks were down in this series in Syracuse in game four. They were down 2-1 in the series and down 3-0 going into the third period and came back and won the game. This team has done it before. It's a desperate style. Laval's very good, but I'm expecting the Amerks to summon something because I thought they really did control the game. They outshot them. I'm expecting a very entertaining game on Friday.
Making note of this, when Dan goes to Atlanta in October.
I tried to bring don't bring it back up.
Dan, thank you for the time. Thank you for the time today.
Dan, appreciate you, man. Enjoy the long weekend, bud.
I felt so much snark there. So snarky.
You can just sense it. He can sense it. That's what I'm talking about, Gene. That's the misfitting behavior that I'm talking. I'm trying to, trying to reform you. Meet the Mets. This is your team. What are they? 10 games above 500. So that's great.
They get the Dodgers.
They're no longer in first place. So there's been a little bit of a slide. They've got a tougher schedule than what they had first month of the year.
If you can take 2 or 3 from the Dodgers, that would be fantastic.
They didn't get swept by the Red Sox. So there's that.
Thank you, Dan.
Dan Fates, 13 WHAM, Buffalo Plus. Stopping by, sharing his thoughts. Hey, I'm not going to count out the Braves. The Braves could make the postseason. He could be at a postseason game.
Oh, look, the Mets were down and out this time last year.
That's right.
How many games below 500 were there?
That's right. I'm not going to count them out.
The Braves are in Washington tonight. Ugh, Washington.
That'd be a lot of fun for Fatesy to go to some playoff baseball and then cover the Bills on Monday Night Football in Atlanta. I like that. Don Stevens, speaking of the Amerks, the voice of the Amerks, will be stopping by the sports bar next hour. We'll get his thoughts on the Game 3 loss and a little preview of what's ahead tomorrow night from Laval. Coming up next in the sports, but we haven't touched on this yet, college football has made a change to their postseason.
I think it's a pretty big one. Like right now, it's like, oh, yeah, but when this comes back around, I think they're doing this for a reason. I'll explain what my thoughts on this.
Right, we'll get into that and more on the passing of Colts owner Jim Irsay.
Yeah, where like something in his obituary that people are writing like, oh, I did not know this. Kind of an interesting part of him, and I guess it's actually kind of relatable to a lot of people.
We'll get to that, and Don Stevens of the Rochester Americans, the voice of the Rochester Americans, stopping by in the 4 o'clock hour next on The Fan Rochester.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.